The Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. I should warn you that I have been trying all week to get this sermon to come into focus, and I don't know if I've gotten there yet, but I'm going to do my best. Ruth and I were watching Netflix yesterday, and we watched the movie Wonder Woman. I'm just curious, has anyone in here watched Wonder Woman? That's all right. It's not one of the finest pieces of the filmmaker's art. But it did, well, one of the drawbacks of being a pastor is that early in the week, you know, I look at the readings for the coming Sunday, and then I'm spending the rest of the week thinking about those readings. And so everything I see and hear ends up going through that filter. And so I'm watching Wonder Woman and thinking, this kind of applies to the readings. Now, if nothing else, that should keep you here, trying to figure out how Wonder Woman applies to today's readings. But it does set up some interesting, some ideas. Basically, the two main characters in the movie are Ares, who is the god of war, and Diana, who is this Amazon princess. And the two main differences in these characters are that Ares believes that human beings are fundamentally destructive, and that the only way to save the earth is to get rid of the human beings, which he goes about by doing, by inciting them to war. Diana, on the other hand, this Amazon princess, believes that human beings are fundamentally good, that they are rather being manipulated by Ares and the other outside forces, and that these good human beings simply need to be protected from Ares. And I don't think you're all going to run out to see Wonder Woman, but I won't be a spoiler here. But anyway, the movie is how these two ideas come into conflict and play out. The first reading that we heard today was the reading of Noah and the Ark, which, if you remember no other story from Sunday school, I'm sure it's got to be this one. I think this story gets told more often in Sunday school than any other biblical story. And by this time, we are familiar with it enough to know how it goes. The flood is going to come. God talks to Noah, tells him, go get those animals and bring them in. He brings them into the ark. The flood comes. They ride over the ark, come to rest on the mountain. The flood goes down, and everyone lives happily ever after. But the problem with that Sunday school reading of that story is that it misses a lot of the details. One of the most important of which simply being that story concentrates on the ark. But all the action is happening outside of the ark. When God brings that flood, all of humankind, except for one family, is wiped out. All the animals, except for two of every kind, are wiped out. And in doing so, God seems to be behaving more like Aries, in that he looks out, he sees that humankind is evil, and he decides to purify the world by destroying humankind. He saves one family that he thinks is righteous. This image that I came across by Francis Danby, it's a little hard to see in the light in here, but it gives a sense of the horror of the flood, with these people scrambling up to the last little bit of high ground there. But what really kind of made it stand out for me is this little figure down here. There's an angel who is grieving over a drowned infant. And yet behind that angel are all these other mothers with their children trying to get them above the water. Which kind of points out the monstrosity of the idea of saving one family when all the others drown. And what we hear today in that first reading is what comes directly after the flood comes to rest, which is another part of the story that we oftentimes forget about, which is that when Noah and the animals come out of the ark, Noah offers a sacrifice to God of thanksgiving. But one of the first things that God realizes after this flood is that human beings are inclined to evil. He realizes that, you know, I saved this one family, but even this one, the human heart is inclined to evil, and wiping them out isn't going to help anything. And so in a remarkable moment in Scripture, in spite of that realization, God makes this covenant with Noah. He puts the rainbow in the sky and declares that he will never again try to do what he's just done. He will never again try to purify the world by wiping out humankind. Later on, when we find the Jews in the time of Jesus, we find the Pharisees and the scribes. They seem to take a view much more like Diana's. They seem to feel that human beings are fundamentally good. The problem is that they are being corrupted. And the answer to that is the law. All we need to do is follow this law and we'll be good again. And so they keep instructing the people in the law and trying to help them keep it. But here too, they seem to have little success. People don't seem able to keep the law. And then we get Jesus. Up until the time of Jesus, baptism was a matter of purity. Baptism was something that one did in order to purify oneself before God. It wasn't that baptism started with Jesus. It had been there long before that as a ritual cleaning. But when Jesus comes along, baptism takes on a new meaning because it comes to be seen in the light of Jesus' death and resurrection. Which brings us to our second reading. One of the things I love about this Sunday is it brings two of what I feel to be the most remarkable moments in Scripture together. The first one being that moment after the flood. And the second one being from this first letter of Peter, when he talks about this flood, but he puts it in the perspective of those days between Jesus' death and his resurrection, when according to church tradition, Jesus descended into hell, and there, according to 1 Peter, he preaches to those imprisoned there. He preaches the gospel to them. Now, in the early church, this was taken as a way to solve the difficult question of, well, what happened to these good people who lived before the time of Jesus? People like Abraham and Moses and Noah. People who listened to God and followed God, but didn't yet know about Jesus. How could they be saved? And the early church saw this as, well, because Jesus went down to hell and then brought them out. But the author of this letter doesn't buy that, because he specifically points out that the ones that Jesus is preaching to are precisely those who didn't listen in the time of Noah. Those who made fun of Noah while he built the ark. Those who ignored the rain clouds coming in. All of those who were viewed as evil. Jesus goes down and preaches precisely to them. And then he likens it to baptism. He makes the connection between that great flood that destroyed all those evil people to this new flood of baptism. It's as if this great deluge washed over the world, bringing death, and then now this new wave of baptism washes back, bringing a wave of life. Because in baptism, an aspect of baptism we often overlook, just as we overlook the darker sides of the Noah story, the children are drowned. They drowned in that biblical deluge as evil creatures, but are reborn as God's own. Which brings us to kind of the final realization in the movie. What kind of changes everything for Diana is when she realizes that people are neither inherently evil or inherently good. They simply are who they are. And that they're worth saving. And I think this is what we find in Jesus. We find one who neither condemns the wicked nor praises the righteous, but rather saves us simply because we are God's creatures. Who acts not out of a desire to purify the world, but simply out of apparent love for their children. He saves a people who are neither white nor black, but gray, who simply are who they are, and in spite of it all, beloved by Christ. We have passed through these waters of baptism, and in so doing, we have not been made pure. We have simply been made Christ's. And because we've been made Christ's, we are beloved in God's sight, who loves us every bit as much as he loves his son Jesus. For in the end, we are all of us, by God's command and by God's history, his creation, his sons and daughters, his earth creatures. And the amazing thing about this God is that he loves us and comes to be with us. Our God, Emmanuel. Amen.